Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. There are currently 12 former journalists employed as advisors to government ministers. That fact was highlighted in a common piece in the Irish Times this week by the journalist Justine McCarthy, who wrote that the sheer number involved lends credence to critics' allegations of a cozy relationship between reporters and politicians. Quite simply, it looks incestuous. Well, we're joined in the studio now by Justine McCarthy, who wrote that piece, and by Dr. Roddy Flynn, who lectures in the School of Communications in DCU. Thank you both very much for coming into studio. Justine, to you first. For years, we've had journalists who've crossed over to the dark side, become political advisors. Has it become something different in recent times where we've had, it seems that we've had more of them?
Definitely. It was, I suppose, a rarity back in the 1990s. You'd have some, you know, people maybe from RTÉ with very high profiles, political journalists, like people like Sean Dignan, Liam Horrock and Shane Kenny. But they would have been very rare. And, you know, to the rest of us, it seemed like a wonderful move. How exciting to be getting into government and seeing how the system worked. But now, instead of, you know, just one or two people you could name, we have a dozen people who have gone, and they're going, a lot of them are going from the print media rather than from broadcasting, which is very interesting. And I just want to make it really clear. I found this difficult to write because it seemed as if I was criticising my colleagues. But I just want to make it very clear that individually, I have no truck with any of them, and I regard them very highly. They're really good journalists. They were really good journalists. But it is the cumulative effect, and the perception is the problem with this.
And we'll talk about the effect on politics in a moment, but on the media, to lose, very many of them are very talented or were very talented journalists. What effect is that having then on the media, on newspapers and radio and television stations that are losing talent to government ministers?
Well, unfortunately, politicians aren't as thick as some of their critics like to make them out to be. They're good at spotting talent, and they have sucked up some of the most talented journalists. I would say somebody, I don't like to name names, but Fiacc Kelly, who was an Irish Times deputy political editor, who went to work for Helen McEntee and has now moved into the commercial sector. He was an outstanding journalist of his generation, and he was a huge loss to journalism. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that experience is being lost, memory is being lost, and the expertise that those people have is now being applied at the other, from the other side, to, I suppose, help manage the news agenda.
And I want to talk to Roddy about this. I mean, does it change politics if so many of the advisors are experts in the media? Does it make the politicians' focus? Does it overly concentrate their focus on what's happening in the media?
I think it cements something that's been happening for a very long time. I mean, this is literally a lecture we do on mediatization. And I use that term advisedly. It's not mediation, but mediatization. And what mediatization describes is the situation whereby media logic sort of prevails over political logic. So if you go all the way back to the 19th century, like, newspapers were set up as political outlets, and they were there basically to serve the interests of the kind of whatever political perspective was being advanced. But over the course of the last, obviously, 150 years, media have become commercial institutions in their own right, and they've become, to a certain extent, detached from that reliance on politics. And now it works the other way around, and it has done for a very long time. So that's that. That's what mediatization implies.
And how does that manifest itself? I mean, if, for example, a minister hires mm-hmm. an advisor who's not an expert in policy, but is an expert in how his or her minister is portrayed in the media, does that guide decisions then, that perhaps decisions are taken rather than in the best interests of a policy, but perhaps more in that it will portray the minister in the best light in the newspapers the next day.
Perhaps, I mean, not to quite kind of answer that, but the classic example of mediatisation at work is when, say, television becomes the key medium, right? That the appearance of politicians suddenly matters, not the quality of their policies. So a John F. Kennedy beats on Richard Nixon on TV, loses to him in the radio debate because Nixon was a better, actually, kind of argumenter. But if you like, the media representation, yeah, becomes much more significant. And so you're right, like what begins to become less significant, arguably, is policy. And instead you get into this kind of game metaphor for talking about, you know, media representation of politics, the horse race kind of metaphor, where what's interesting is not, you know, what's the best policy in the interests of a given society, but what is going to sell more newspapers ultimately and gain more attention for the politician as a consequence of this.
Justine, is the relationship between political reporters and politicians too cosy?
I think it is, yes. I worked in Leinster House on and off over the years, and most recently as a political correspondent, I would say that 99% of my colleagues were ethical and maintained the necessary distance from politicians. But there were some occasions when some people crossed that line and became friends of politicians. Now, it's very hard when you're working in a small enough building with 200 politicians and your job is to schmooze those people to get information from them. So I do think that some rules need to be imposed.
Such as?
I think that journalists should not, for instance, be going on foreign holidays with politicians. I think they shouldn't have intimate relationships with politicians. Okay, people are human, they might fall in love. But if that happens, you should have to move out of Leinster House and into a different area.
Roddy, do you think there should be clearer rules set down for political reporters in how they conduct themselves in Leinster House?
I suppose the general, it's not just in terms of how they conduct themselves in Leinster House, although I would have thought at a minimum one would have had a declaration in your article, by the way, I'm married to, for example, X. But also the rules about, you know, the shift from being a gamekeeper one day to being a poacher the next day, if you know what I mean. So moving from journalism to political advice. Now, what would those rules be? Some kind of Chinese walls or that notion of gardening leave been introduced, whereby there's some kind of respectable distance between having the idea that you could be a journalist on Friday and then become a political advisor on Monday. Feels a bit odd. In practical terms, I have to admit, I'm not sure how that works. How do you finance that individual for those 3 months? But yeah, there clearly needs to be some kind of gap. Otherwise, how can media credibly represent themselves as watchdogs over, you know, the kind of the key aspect of kind of what hard news focuses on, the prosecution of politics on a daily basis?
Justine, last word to you. Is there a trust issue at play here? If people who are reading the newspapers, watching television, watching the news, listening to the radio and so on, if they feel that journalists and politicians are too cosy and perhaps a journalist has an eye on a job that pays more money in a minister's office, does that lead to a breach of trust?
Justin, to my mind, this is entirely about trust. And why it has now become essential that we deal with it is because trust in journalism in Ireland and internationally is at a very low ebb. And this is compounding the impression of a cosy relationship between journalists and politicians.
Journalist Justine McCarthy and Dr. Roddy Flynn of DCU, thank you both very much for coming in to talk to us today. That is it from us for today. On sound was Mark McGrath. Our broadcast coordinator was Mary Elizabeth Bruton, and the programme was edited by Elaine Devlin. Stay tuned for Sunday Sport coming up next, but for now, for myself, Justin McCarthy, and all the team, thanks for listening and have a very good afternoon.